Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time to go blitzing on Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Thanks to Earl for the update. Latest on the Redskins after last night's win. Get you set for some Virginia Tech football as well. Let's get things started. Craig Hoffman is our Redskins beat reporter. He joins us now. I enjoyed Craig Hoffman's company last night. Hey, Craigers, let's just start with how much I ate in the press box last night.
Why were you egging him on, Mr. Fitness?
Because it was Thanksgiving, and we should eat as much as we want on Thanksgiving. I certainly did, and I didn't want my guy to miss out. So it's the one time all year, go to town, and he did a great job of that.
You were supposed to be the positive influence. You're the angel on the left shoulder. You've trained people. You
I
have
was
a podcast
a
about training.
Danny, it was Thanksgiving, and he should eat absolutely as much as he wants to.
I said,
I did a great job of encouraging him to do so.
I said, should I eat three cookies? And he said yes.
Oh, man.
That's what happened.
He's an enabler.
He is. What did you think of the game last night?
A lot about, and Kirk talks a lot about process and all that kind of stuff. But last night, the process didn't matter. It's the one time all year because of the schedule, because of the injuries. Doesn't matter. Just survive. Make it till Dallas, get out there with the win, and then now you've got some guys hopefully coming back off of injury. You have an actual week to prepare. Just win, and they did.
All right. They ran the ball deplorably in the first half. It was an embarrassment. It was awful. They couldn't do it. And when they started in the second half, they all of a sudden were running effectively. What did you notice from your vantage point where all of a sudden they could run the ball, whereas in the first half it was a waste of time?
I mean, it seemed like the blocking was a little better. It's kind of hard to tell until you go back and watch the tape. I think Piron, you know, he's a back that finds a rhythm through a game, Danny. And it's weird because you don't necessarily want a guy who he's not a guy who you want to give 30 carries to because he's not that dynamic. But he is a guy you're going to have to get 18 to if you want him to be effective. So it's that fine line between being effective and being balanced. Because their pass game is more effective, and they really did a good job of finding it last night. I think you wound up with 24 carries. Obviously, late they're milking the game away, or trying to milk the game away. So he gets a couple of extra, but he just found his rhythm, and he was decisive in his cuts, and he ran hard, and he was explosive in his own way. You know, his top end speed is not going to be there, but he was explosive. I think that over time wore down the Giants' defense and made it for an effective run game in the second half.
Craig, what will people hear? They're tuning in at 2. They'll be hearing you filling in for Chad. What do you got brewing today?
A couple thoughts on how we talk about Kirk Cousins, because I think that we occasionally do that in a way that's not very productive. And I'm sure we'll talk about the field as well, because I know you guys have been talking about it. And it needs to be discussed because it's not very good.
Yeah.
It's the New York Giants of football fields.
It is on that level, headed for 3-13 probably.
Well said,
thank
buddy.
You, buddy. Let's stick with the Redskins. Chris Russell provides our analysis pregame and postgame. Rini, I know that you love the running game, but we're going to spin to the passing game in Jamison Crowder as we continue the conversation with you. What do you think's gotten him going here post-Chris Thompson injury since the fourth quarter last week? He's been not only the most targeted Redskin, but he's been back to his old ways.
Yeah, I mean, I think, first of all, health. That's number one. I think because they have the prior chemistry and the prior rhythm, it's easier for him to get going with Kirk than it is maybe for, say, a Terrell Pryor or somebody else to get going with Kirk, because they know each other's idiosyncrasies. They know what kind of routes, what kind of decisions, what kind of, I guess, body language, if you will, use. And it seems to me, without again watching all of the tape, that, you know, Jamison is so good, as we know, guys, running those crossers and running those routes that kind of split zone coverage. And that's what it seemed like a lot the last drive of regulation last year and a bunch last night as well.
Russell, Junior Gallette got home. That was good for a number of reasons. One, they needed the play. Two, a guy that's been just sniffing around so many different tackles for loss, quarterback hits, sacks, et cetera, finally broke through and got a much-needed one for the Redskins. Go through his process a little bit. Might we see some more of this down the stretch?
Oh, absolutely, because, you know, I thought from the start, and this was no genius thought, was you would have to ease him in. When you don't play football for 2.5 years and yet you've torn two Achilles, you don't run a 45, 50 snaps a game. But the one thing that has been noticeable about Junior Gallette from the very get-go, even in the preseason, is how low he gets in his stance and how he explodes first step-wise. And I think we saw that last night on both the final play of the game and, of course, the sack forced fumble, which essentially ended the game because he had the two big plays late. I think you can see the burst is still there despite the injuries and what he's been through. Now that the rust is off, baby, it's time to let him go. And, you know, because Kerrigan was so dominant against that rookie right tackle who was only starting his second game, which I thought would be a big matchup for the Redskins, they didn't even really have to mess with, you know, a whole lot. They could just let Junior kind of line up late in that game against Eric Flowers, who sucks overall, but he's been playing better, and it was good to see him torch him a couple of times.
Hey, we only got about 20 seconds here, but I want to get your thoughts. One of the stories of the day has become the turf. Kirk Cousins was more candid than I anticipated in being on the show. What'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously not good. Everything that you've said is covered. I mean, they have tried some things. Grant, you and I met with, buddies of ours and, you know, people that work very diligently and hard. I think they're limited financially, limited investment-wise. I think they have to make an enormous investment in it, and they're probably not willing to do that.
Russell, thank you, buddy. Always appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Let's talk Virginia Tech Hokies, please. Bring on our buddy John Laser, voice of the Virginia Tech Hokies. Rivalry week here, John. Tell us about it. UVA, Virginia Tech, what do we need to know?
Well, the big thing is the streak, guys. Virginia Tech has not lost to Virginia since 2003, so I think they carry some pressure into this matchup each year of trying to keep that streak alive and hoping to win for the 14th consecutive time. But beyond that, I think there's some concern through Hokie Nation because Virginia has gotten a lot better in year two under second-year head coach Bronco Mendenhall. They haven't won necessarily in a big way, but they've definitely been a lot more competitive with some teams that have given the Hokies trouble, namely Miami last week. And Virginia Tech's pretty injured, banged up quite a bit coming in, and the injuries that they had mounting on offense have now crept over to the defensive side. So I think everyone anticipates that it should be a pretty close game tonight, which it was not last year when the Hokies hammered the Hoos up in Blacksburg.
Assuming they win, they're probably going to finish the season ranked between 21 and 23 in the country, something like that. Three losses. The only one among them that really will bother me is Georgia Tech. But how should I feel about the season after they wrap up this game, assuming they win?
Yeah, I think when you rewind it, you're right, guys, and that they won't wind up in the spot the way that you expected them to, but probably where they're supposed to be. At 9-3, I think, with all the freshmen, true freshmen and redshirt freshmen that you've had to play offensively this year, I think is quite a remarkable achievement for Justin Fuente. And with the injuries that you've had mounting, particularly over the last couple of weeks, that margin for error that he talks about quite a bit has just gotten so small. So if you get to 9-3 and if things play out the way that you think they will atop the conference and actually wind up in a New Year's Six Bowl, I think that's an incredible way to build forward for this team, which is going to be a lot better offensively next year with some more experience. So you're right. The Georgia Tech loss does bother you because all those things that I mentioned, you still feel like you should have won that game. But on the other side of that, if you do not win tonight, we'll judge it a whole lot differently.
Last one quickly, Josh Jackson. I mean, you're talking about the future getting built for a kid that's doing what he's doing without the experience he's had. This time is invaluable. Really impressive this year.
Yeah, he has been, particularly doing it with the lack of experience around him. You know, he's got Cam Phillips on the outside, and that's been about it in terms of guys that know where they're going 100% of the time. And then right when you're trying to find a groove in the middle of the season, losing its left tackle, Yash Nijman, if not the best offensive lineman, one of the top two with Wyatt Teller, and having some protection issues there. And again, just not having a consistent running game around him. I think the toughness that he's shown throughout the season to hang in there and take some shots, particularly of late, and continue to make this offense go to some degree has been incredible. So again, I think when you look back on it historically, you're going to understand how good of a season he's had, how difficult of a spot he's been in with all the inexperience around him.
John, thank you, buddy. Good catching up. Enjoy the game tomorrow.
Have a good call, bud.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
You bet. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Samaje Perine has had two chances with the first team working all week long going into games, and he's rushed for 100 back-to-back performances now. How should we feel about him? Grant and Danny on The Fan, that's next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.